Today's question is, as a reminder, as Sean was saying earlier, why is Good Friday good? Why do we call it good? It seems so not good. So that's what we're going to talk about. And it's not a biblical construct. There's no place in the Bible where it's ever referred to as Good Friday. So we humans have decided over the course of a few thousand years to sort of rest on this day as Good Friday. So why is that? And it's a perfect day for Good Friday. It's raining. It's cloudy. It's dark. It's damp. It's humid. It's uncomfortable. I'm kind of nervous too. There's way more of you here than I thought there would be. So, but that's a good thing. So, Good Friday. What's that about? Well, I went to the dentist the other day. Anybody here like going to the dentist? You know, there's people that raise their hands. They like going to the dentist. Okay. Well, that's good. It's Good Friday. It's good. I hate going to the dentist. And because I ended up getting sick last year, as most of you know, I ended up in the hospital, ended up in a wheelchair, and I basically went about a year and a half without going to the dentist. Now, before that, I was going regularly, faithfully, every 6 months. My work insurance was paying for it, so any chance I had to stick it to the insurance company, I was, hopefully nobody here works for insurance company, but if you do, I still love you, I promise. So I was going to the dentist, so every 6 months get my teeth clean, and they were x-raying it and all that stuff, just to make sure I didn't have any cavities, and I was actually doing pretty good. I didn't have any cavities for a long time. But then after a year and a half of not going to the dentist, I was afraid. I was terrified. I was going to have cavities. When I grew up in Springdale, Newfoundland, when I was having my cavities filled, there was no freezing. Like, I was, and this, I had this feeling that the dentist kind of enjoyed the agony that she was putting me through. But anyway, that was just a theory that may or may not be true. So, anyway, I went to the dentist. Finally, I found one that was accessible. She actually saw me in my chair. I didn't have to transfer, nothing to that. I put my head back. Had my x-rays, had my teeth cleaned, had no cavities. I have no cavities. Hey, so that was good. We call it Good Friday. A good dentist visit. It was a good dentist visit. What's that? It might have been on a Friday. That would have even been better. It's probably definitely raining for sure, right? Yeah. So the question again is, why is today Good Friday? And I just, there's several theories, maybe three, that I wanted to point out. One is that it's most commonly thought amongst Christians, especially, that it's called Good Friday because Jesus did die for us, made an example of dying and raising again from the dead. And so therefore, yes, that is absolutely great, good news. And so therefore, we do call Good Friday good. And that's mostly why we think it's called Good Friday. However, it's probably not how we ended up here. Another theory that seems to be prevalent is that we English speakers especially have kind of once again messed up translation. And so we thought that Good Friday was actually a God Friday, and we just added another O in there. We call it Good Friday. And again, once again, we've done what we often do in terms of translating. We just made it sound like something we wanted it to sound like instead of what it actually was. And so God Friday is most likely not, again, why today is Good Friday. The most likely theory is that good means holy. So you'll hear at Christmas time, especially good tidings or glad tidings, right? And we don't think of anything dark when it comes to that because it's Christmas. But we also more than likely call it Good Friday because Friday is a holy day. This day among most days is a sacred day. It's the day we remember. It's the day that we remember that Jesus died on this cross and left an example of how we are to live. We've got to go through, if we're going to take the Jesus way, we got to go through this Good Friday. Can't get to Easter Sunday without Good Friday. And that is good. So what does that have to do with us again? There is this passage in Matthew where Jesus is kind of ticked off with the religious folks, and he's kind of saying they're all like tombstones. By the way, I enjoy going to cemeteries as well. Some of you may do that as well. I don't know. I do have a dark side to me. I kind of feel actually more at home sometimes on Good Friday than I do on Easter Sunday. And that may be a problem. But nonetheless, I like going through cemeteries on most days, and I like just sort of being grounded there, being reminded that this is all of our, we're all heading here to this place called the cemetery and these tombstones. And so Jesus is kind of yelling at the religious people, saying that they're like sepulchers, they're like tombstones. Essentially saying to them, you have no imagination, you have no energy, you have bought into the lies that the culture is selling, and you're kind of dead. That's what he was saying. So for us, what is he saying to us? Well, the question is, will we continue on with the patterns of death that our society has subscribed to? Because it has. It really has. Or will we find the energy and will we find the imagination to break out of those patterns and come alive? Are we going to be willing to die to the mess that we're in and come alive as people of God, taking the Jesus way? The Bible itself seems to be an entire book of stories of people who come out of death and rise up to newness. You think about Abraham and Sarah. The Bible again says Abraham was as good as dead. More than likely, in that context, it more than likely was saying that Abraham couldn't have an erection anymore. More than likely was referring to Sarah's womb being kind of closed for business. And all of a sudden, she's pregnant. And they have a baby who's bringing new life into the world from death. And that's what the Bible continues to do over and over and over and over again. People who look dead bring life to the world. And so for us, again, what does that mean to us? Are we living in a society where we won't settle for the old patterns of death any longer? That is our question. Will we dance? Sometimes I am at the back of the church during worship songs, because I have no place to go with the chair or whatever. And there's a couple of people here who have no fear to dance around in the back of that church. And sometimes I got to say, it freaks me out. And even if I could dance, I doubt that I ever would be amongst them. But I look at them and I think, you know what? Jeez, what courage. Like, you just don't care what I think about you, because you're dancing and you're loving it. And I am so happy that you're doing that, even though it's freaking me out a little bit. Will we dance? Will we sing? Will we practice neighborliness? Are we willing to be that kind of people? Lent, Good Friday, is getting all set to die and then be raised. That is what this is. It's easy to tell that we don't want to go there because there are less people here today than there will be here in 2 days from now. On Easter Sunday, there are going to be a whole lot more people. Although there's a lot of you, and I'm thankful. Freaking me out because there's a lot of you. But there will be more people here on Easter Sunday. And why is that? Because a lot of people only want to celebrate Easter but forget that we got to go through death in order to get to life first. Again, I'm talking a lot about death today because it's Good Friday. And Jesus died. And that's the way we're all going. Thankfully, Friday is not the end of the story, right? Friday is a way to name what is happening to us as a society today. When we read the New Testament narrative, it's clear that neither Herod nor Pilate had a clue as to what to do. They were the leaders of the day. And so again, for us, do our leaders of the day seem to have much of a clue as to what to do? I think the answer is pretty obvious. No, they don't. They don't seem to have much of a clue. They're being divisive, left or right. Doesn't matter. I lean left politically. Some of you might lean right. I don't care. We're all wrong. Left and right is all wrong. There's a third way, and that's called the Jesus way. It's called the Good Friday way. It's called the death way, leading to Easter, leading to new life. Everything else, all these other leaders that we think of as leaders don't seem to have much of a clue. And again, the biblical narrative that we just read, we're just repeating the same story. Herod, Pilate, didn't have a clue. I'm not going to name the leaders of the day. You can probably think of them. Don't seem to have much of a clue, except dividing us, making us cast stones at one another. And that's not great. So, maybe it is time for us to die and be raised into something new. I'm going to go back to the dentist for a moment as I finish my talk. And I'll tell you this. One thing she did tell me, however, at the dentist was that I have an upper left wisdom tooth that is decaying. That needs to come out. Well, I don't know if any of you have had your wisdom teeth out. I had my bottom two out. And it took me about a week of pure agony, pain, whatever that's called, the something tooth. What? Abscess or something else. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, but it was definitely painful. When it came out, it didn't feel like it was painful at all because I was all frozen and I was high as a kite, which I don't recommend every day, but sometimes it comes in handy. But then when the drug started to wear off, I was like, holy crap. And for a full week, I'm in agony. And now she wants me to take out my upper left tooth for precautionary reasons because it's decaying. I'm not using it. I can't get my toothbrush back there, but it is decaying. I got to take this tooth out. And she said, I can take it out right now if you'd like. And I thought, I should have said yes, but I didn't because I remembered how painful it was to have my bottom teeth out and how long it took to get over. And so now I have in my mouth a rotting wisdom tooth that will either have to come out electively or at some point it's going to be so rotting and it's going to cause me pain and then it's going to be worse because it could lead to all kinds of other dental mayhem and money that the insurance company is not going to pay for and pain. So am I willing to die? Am I willing to let myself experience pain so that I can experience better life after it's all over? Right now, I'm afraid of it. I live in this chair, as you probably know, and one of the upsides to the chair is that I can lean back like this. Sometimes I go to sleep like this, and it's actually quite lovely. And my physical therapist, she's very big on me opening my arms as widely as possible so that I can open my chest and try and get my sort of posture in a better thing. My posture, as you may have noticed, is not great. And so she says, just put your arms out. Just put them out. You don't have to put any weights on them or anything. Just open up your arms and let your chest open up. Let your whole body cavity open up. So I do that. And also, leaning back like this, it actually allows me to look up at the sky. Sometimes it's the nighttime and I can see the stars. Even in Toronto, sometimes there's stars. And sometimes there's clouds in the daytime and I get to look up and have a different perspective on the world. And when I do this, most of the times it's because of the physical therapist, but sometimes I'm brought to remember, I'm in the shape of a cross here. I'm sort of opening myself up, and I'm going to try and my best to allow Jesus to come into my life as best as I know how. I'm going to try my best to leave behind the things that are causing me to die and try and live a more healthy life. And that's hard to do. And so the question today on this Good Friday is this: what in our lives might be helpful to leave behind today? What in our lives might help us, even though it's going to be painful, it's going to hurt, death hurts. It's going to hurt. What are those things that we as individuals can leave behind? Is it pride? I don't know. What can we as a church leave behind? Are we afraid? Is that something that might be holding us back? Holding us from being closer to Jesus? Are we afraid of going broke? Are we afraid of losing money? Are we really too comfortable amongst ourselves to chase this vision that we've just cast just before Christmas? What is it about us as individuals that we can lay down? What is it as human beings? So, even though Sean told me I wasn't allowed to ask you this, and I'm not technically going to ask you this, well, you can participate in this if you would like, but Sean's not endorsing it, and I guess neither am I. Many religious traditions have a great way of entering physically into worship, prostrating themselves before their God. And so, not endorsed by me or Sean, one of the things you could do is just lie down on the carpet. Not trying to freak you out. Sometimes I get freaked out in church, and I don't get freaked out. Don't do anything you don't feel comfortable doing, like dancing at the back of the church or lying on the carpet. But sometimes, maybe some of you might want to just lie back in the shape of a cross. Some of you could just stay in your pews, which is what we are endorsing. Stay in your pews. Try your best to sort of put your arms out, maybe slouch back a little bit. And for a couple of minutes, just for a couple of minutes today, just of silence. I'm not going to put an overhead slide up. I'm not going to play a song for you to reflect on. You think about it. You can close your eyes. You can open your eyes, whatever it is. I'm asking you to take 2 minutes of silence, after which I think Sean or somebody's coming up, and sort of enter physically into worship. Why? Because God takes up space. God is not just a theological, abstract thought that we sort of ponder in our minds, but God is actually here amongst us, and physically we can interact with God. That's why we're going to do this. We're going to enter into this worship physically, and then afterwards we're going to stand up, and we're going to walk up, and we're going to take communion all together. And my hope is today, sometimes we don't know what to think about when we do communion. That's okay. But today my hope is that we'll all think a similar thought, which is, what can I let go of today that's going to cause me pain, but it'll make my life and the life of those around me and make me better at these two great commandments of loving God and loving neighbor? What are those things? So again, for 2 minutes, starting now when I shut up finally, I would ask that you somehow open your arms wherever you are, on the floor or in your pew, and ask God, what are those things that I need to let go of? Amen.